Welcome back to another episode of the Game Over Podcast, brought to you by the Banging and Clanging Podcast. What an XFL season. But before we get to that, let's get to some stories. Sorry, I've been out. I was actually, was rear-ended, had a concussion. If you've ever had a concussion, your brain gets scrambled. And in some cases, your speech might not be as clear. You might not be as sharp. So I wasn't able to. I had planned to get back and do a XFL championship podcast way sooner. But I was still a little foggy, a little groggy. Still was not at full capacity where I could talk about the game. And now that some time has passed over, I just wanted to touch on some things, but also to let you know that. Don't get concussions. They're not fun. They're not fun. They affect everything that you do. If you've ever tried to work out on one, that's an awful experience. I don't recommend it. Definitely do not try to do that. Sleeping is the only thing that really helps with that. Just to give you some concussion advice. And being that we do talk about football a ton, I was just talking about Tua to a friend of mine recently. They suck. As you get older, they do. It does take a more of a toll on your body in the way that you recover. So recovery might be a little bit longer. But I took a good 3 weeks and didn't really do anything podcast related or talking related because it just didn't feel right. But now I'm back. No worries on that. Before I get into that, I want to tell some stories. We do a wrestling podcast also. And what I'm going to tell you is that it would suck to be super famous. It would. There are two wrestlers that live here that I see on a pretty consistent basis. One is Xavier Woods. We'll take that as the first story. Now, I've worked out in LA Fitnesses with Austin Watson several times. He is lucky in the way that, you know, he can go in there and nobody will bother him because, you know, he's in the WWE, but he's not he's a star. I'm going to tell you that. He's by far, he's one of the greatest people that they have. But out of context, he's very different. He's very difficult to recognize because he's 5'9". You know, he's big, like muscular big, but not like Batista big. So, and he can wear his hair different ways. He can wear a hat. You know, he can do all these certain things that would hide it. But he can still go to Publix. He can still work out without getting noticed. Now, this past week, I was trying to get back into my rhythm and get back into my training after the concussion, and I went to go work out in Roswell, and so I go up there to the Crunch Fitness and I start working out, you know, start trying to warm up, and I have to run out to my car, so I get ready to go out to my car to go look for something, and then on the way out of the gym. Cody Rhodes is walking in. Cody, I mean, if you're not a wrestling person, it would be very hard to spot this dude. I've met him before. I've met him several times. So I get ready to open the door, and I say, "Hey, I got it, man." And he goes, "Oh, thank you." And he's wearing, this is what he's wearing. He's wearing a hoodie with the headphones low so you can't see his face. Low over the eyes so you can't see his face. And wearing his headphones. Wearing his headphones. So he goes in the gym, you know, starts working out. I'm in my car looking for something for a good, about 6 to 7 minutes. I couldn't find it. So I just like, screw it. I'm just going to go work out. So I come back and I get into, I'm doing arms, I think. See that? I'm still foggy. I can't even remember what I was doing. So I'm working out. Yeah, I was doing arms. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing my stuff, right? I'm doing my stuff and, I'm very focused, trying to get everything done. And I look over it in that direction because I'm thinking, okay, I need this dumbbell. And he's over there. And he's super covered up because he can't take, he's very noticeable. There's bright Super Saiyan blonde hair. And he is currently the face of Raw, face of Monday Night Raw. So I don't want to go over there and start talking, because if he starts on me, he's gonna start, other people are gonna come over and start talking to him, ask him questions, dude. And I know how valuable these guys' time is, because they travel so much. He's got a family, he's got a wife, he's got other obligations to do. So I understand why you got to stay covered up. You got to stay incognito while you're in there. And I was just thinking to myself, it's like, yeah, I had on a hoodie. We were dressed the same. It's funny, we were dressed the same, even though nobody cares who I am or what I'm doing. I just do it because I don't want people to interrupt my workouts, which is also part of the reason why he does it, on top of being one of the most famous WWE superstars in the world. But to myself, I'm thinking, what an existence that must be, you know, having to always come into the gym or wherever he's going, out with his family or out with his kids or out with his dogs, always covered up. Because, you know, if you don't, you know, you're going to lose so much time dealing with people. And you already give so much of your life to the fans who support your business, who support WWE. So I was just saying that. It is also different for football players or basketball, because those guys really, really stick out. WWE guys can kind of hide, just like actors. A lot of actors who live here in Atlanta, if you don't know them in context, NFL dudes, I mean, if you see dudes like 6'5", you know, who's 300 pounds, you know, they do something. You know, you might not know basketball or football or what they do, but you know they're somebody. And Cody has that because he's a little bit on the taller side, you know, and he's pretty jacked also. So, but yeah, so I was just thinking there, as he's getting through his workout, he got through everything, he headed out, and I was gonna say something. He just waved, and I just gave him a nod because I know he's got stuff to do. He's fighting Brock Lesnar. All right, so we're about to get into football, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome to the main event. Let's talk some XFL. Okay, the XFL championship is done, and it was the Luis Perez and Canelo show. Canelo being the tight end, and Luis being the quarterback. They were underdogs from the get-go. They were underdogs in the conference championship game, and that did not change going against the DC Defenders, who had only lost one game, which I have said several times was to the worst team in the XFL, the Orlando Guardians. So I knew that they can be got. Everybody can be got. Everyone can get got, and they got by the XFL champions. The DC Defenders had a little bit of trouble with the crossing routes. DC Defender plays a lot of man coverage. Now with that, you do have to stick to your man, as the name implies. But when they do crossing routes, so mesh routes, routes where the receivers are crossing against each other, going from one side of the field to the other, in close proximity, it creates what we call in football world a rub, where those players, the defenders, would get picked off, and the DC defenders could not account for it. They just couldn't. And they did not change. Barlow is a great coach. He was the XFL Coach of the Year, rightfully so. And they probably went into this game thinking, hey, you know, we're the better team. We've lost one game. These guys are flukes. They shouldn't deserve to be here, but they're here because they're in a weaker conference. But when you're out on the field, anything can happen. And the Arlington Renegades were able to put together just a fantastic game plan and stay on the throttle. Now the move of the whole season was Luis Perez going from the Vipers to the Arlington Renegades. That was the game changer. he was a quarterback they needed. And once they got him, he was able to assimilate to their system. The Arlington Renegades have great receivers. We're actually, in this episode, we're going to get to some of the XFL signings, because the XFL, this is what it was supposed to be. This is supposed to give players the opportunity to go to the next level, to go to the NFL, and to continue their playing careers. So I want to give a shout to Caleb Vander Esch, who probably nobody ever heard of before this game was played, but he had a fantastic game. Also Tyler Vaughn, who had a couple great catches. Sal Canella with the first touchdown. And Javonte Payton, who really showed up in that conference championship game, played great. But hats off to the Arlington Renegades, who are the XFL champions. And of all the champions that have ever been crowned, I don't know if there's ever been a team with a losing record to win a championship. But the XFL has there are a lot of firsts here. There are a lot of firsts, and that is one of them. All right, so now I wanted to get to some of these NFL signings. Just pulling it up. Now, probably, you know, when NFL camps open up, they have 90, at least 90 roster spots open. And you start OTAs, off-season training activities, with a lot of players, because you want to look at as many players as you can. Because what OTAs are, you are looking for players that are going to help your team win. That's what you're looking for. Can this guy who we sign help us win football games? Not championships, because that's further down the line. Situationally, can we get a player in here who maybe has not had an opportunity somewhere, but maybe a diamond in the rough? And that's literally how general managers make their bones. That's through through free agents and the draft. So without further ado, let's get to some of these players. All right. So May 17th, we have Alize Mack. He was a tight end for the San Antonio Brahmas. Had a great season. Heard his name a ton. I think he's going to be a welcome target for the Tennessee Titans, who are heavily run-based. They do use a lot of play action. They just lost Jonnu Smith to the Atlanta Falcons, so they're trying to fill that role. And I think that he's going to I think he's going to stick. I think that the tight ends of the XFL, I think every single starting tight end is going to have an NFL job. That's how good the tight end play was in the XFL. All right, next we have Willie Taylor, the third linebacker. He was an Arlington Renegade, had a great championship game. He's signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars' defense is already pretty stacked. They have a lot of great players. He might have a little bit of trouble making that team, but he'll get some film. And hopefully another team will pick him up if the Jacksonville Jaguars do not. Daniel Whelan, the punter for the DC Defenders, who was fantastic, signed with the Green Bay Packers. All right, this one, Hakeem Butler, St. Louis Battlehawks, signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This dude's a player. Big, tall receiver, great hands, made some great catches in the back of the end zone. Cody Pickett, who's a quarterback for the Steelers. I think that he needs big targets, being a younger quarterback. Precision passing is not his thing yet. Not that it won't be, but I think that'll be a good move for them to sign him. Charleston Rambo, who was one of the bright spots for the Orlando Guardians, signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, the current NFC defending champions. I definitely like that move for him. I think that Jalen Hurts, you need as many weapons as you can. They have two unbelievable receivers on the outside in Devontae Smith, and I'm forgetting the other guy's name. He is freaking awesome. It'll come to me. But two great wide receivers. So in the slot, I think Charleston Rambo would be a welcome addition to that team. All right, we got Jared Jones Smith, offensive tackle, signed with the Washington Commanders, off the St. Louis Battlehawks. St. Louis Battlehawks, I think, had the most complete offensive line from tackle to tackle. So I think that he will have a great shot at making the Commanders. Gary Jennings are also off that great St. Louis Battlehawks receiving core going to the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Carolina Panthers, they traded their best receiver more to the Bears. So they need as many wide receiver bodies in there as they can. Gary Jennings had a great, great season coming in late, getting the Battlehawks to one game within going to the playoffs. So I like him to make that team. We got Jordan Thomas talking about the tight ends. Carolina Panthers, definitely going to make the Carolina Panthers. He was off the Orlando Guardians team. Another one of the bright spots off that team, but he made some great plays and he had very inconsistent quarterback play. They rotated quarterbacks all the time, but he still was able to do well. All right. Ben DiNucci, the reigning XFL runner-up MVP. I think the MVP was Tyamu. But Ben DiNucci, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, going to the Denver Broncos. Now, the quarterbacks selected from the XFL, I think, are going to be one of the best stories of the NFL, because you're going to get to see these guys play during preseason. If not, but Ben DiNucci going in there with Russell Wilson. I'm not saying that he'll beat him out, but DiNucci has an arm. He's a gamer. If Russell Wilson has lost his edge, which is to be determined, he might have. It's not unheard of for an MVP type player to lose his edge. But DiNucci will get a shot in the NFL and possibly might even start a couple games. We'll see. Bryce Thompson, Seattle Sea Dragons, going to the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins secondary is stacked. They need bodies. I could see him getting some playing time during preseason. He might make it. That's going to be a tough one. Jaquise Patrick, Denver Broncos. This is the big bruising running back from the San Antonio Brahmas. I do like the running backs that the Denver Broncos have, but they do not have anybody like Jaquise Patrick. Sledgehammer type running back who would be great for those goal line situations. Hopefully he sticks and they find a spot for him. He might be a special teams guy in addition, but I think that's a good pickup. Luke Baracco, cornerback, Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers doing work here, getting some XFL players. San Antonio Brahmas. San Antonio Brahmas had a great defense, and he was a large part of that. Steelers also have a pretty good defense, but maybe he gets in as a nickel corner, or maybe the dime corner is a sixth. We'll see. CJ Brewer, defensive lineman, Houston Roughnecks. Houston Roughnecks, one of the strong points was the interior defensive line. Tampa Bay, they really need to build some depth. They do have some good frontline starter with Vita Vea, who is a tremendous player. But we are going to see if he sticks. We got Lucas Dennis, safety, Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons, as you know, if you live here in Atlanta, our defense has not been the greatest. We did just sign Jesse Bates from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a top-tier flight safety, but building depth, I do think that is a good move. Austin Faioli, defensive lineman, Seattle Seahawks, also from the Seattle Sea Dragons. So he's right there staying in the same area. I was going to say, with the Sea Dragons, they did play great defense. And if you watch the Sea Dragons, the hardest thing to do was move the ball up the middle. And he was a big part of that. So hopefully he finds a home there with the Seattle Sea Dragons. We got Jack Heflin, Houston Roughnecks, part of that core defensive line going to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints do need players. They're a little bit devastated by the salary cap, so they had to release a lot of people. Getting him in there, probably a good price, is probably help him out. Antoine Jackson, Sea Dragons, talked about the hardest to move the ball again going out with the Carolina Panthers. I like this SEC, not SEC, this NFC South, because we got Antoine Jackson, also from that defensive line going to Carolina Panthers. Then we got Nico Lyles, linebacker, inside linebacker for the Seattle Sea Dragons. So a lot of that interior of the Sea Dragons, people got a Ridley Coast look at. Lakeli London of the Battlehawks going to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, with that, I would say that he was instrumental, and he was more of a pass rusher as more of a run stopper, if I remember correctly. But he had a he was in the backfield a lot for the Battle Hawks. All right, this one's pretty big. It's John Parker Romo. He was a kicker. He's going to the Detroit Lions. Kicker battles are always interesting because, you know, it's very streaky. You can be on top of the world 1 week, and then, you know, you're getting cut. But I'm glad that he's getting a shot. Barry Wesley of the Sea Dragons, one of the protectors of Ben DiNucci, going with the Atlanta Falcons. Offensive line for the Atlanta Falcons is not their has not been their strong suit. So if you can find a player who you can plug in, who is hungry and is able to, Falcons are going to run the ball. That is their modus operandi for next year, and I do think that he is one of those guys who can help them accomplish that. But yeah, so those are the ones, the big names that I had for the XFL. But there are plenty of others who have signed, and we're going to get to those as we get closer to training camp this summer. But thank you so much for listening to both stories, and I hope that you're having a great summer, and also I hope that you're getting some Go Juice, the official drink of the Game Over podcast. If you're working out, getting ready to train hard this summer, or you just want to pick me up in the morning, you know, if you have long days like I do, you need all the energy you can get, you can go with the Go Juice, www.gojuice, or I'll post it where I post this video, so you can go and check out the label and see that. All right, so thank you very much for listening. This is Crossbones. You can get at me on this podcast, of course, but also Clang and Bang ATL and Banging and Clanging Podcast on Instagram, and also just plus Kelly on Twitter if you'd like to get on me, get in me, get after me on that. All right, so thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode.